In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. It is alarming when it happens, and it happens so much more often than you think, and so much more often than we ever would. One time of a kid who has been raised in the church in a Christian home going off and coming back from college declaring themselves to be an atheist, whether they really have thought it through carefully or not, is enough to alarm any parent, any pastor, any congregation, but it does happen. Now, what can we learn from the many cases that that people in congregations experience all the time of a young person says, "Look, I believed, and then I went away, and I realized I didn't have to believe anymore. I don't really want to, and now I'm an atheist." Pastor George Borghardt joins us to talk about lessons learned from young atheists. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, president of the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things. George, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing good. Is it possible that church has unwittingly laid the foundation for some of these young people to, when challenged, or maybe even when not challenged, just when given a little space between themselves, their parents, and the church, to become atheists?
Yeah, that's not cool at all, is it? Because what saves? Who saves? Christ. And him crucified. That message, that gospel alone saves. And whenever we depart from that gospel, whenever we move away from that gospel, and we replace it with something that we think is more effective or genuine, relevant, then we have departed from the saving word which is going to save us. You see, So we take the gospel and we make it a given. You know, it's a given that we're going to preach Christ and him crucified. And we set it aside, and then we insert something else which we're going to concentrate on. All right, for youth ministry, it's usually what? Come on, it's being somebody's buddy, it's relating to the youth, it's coming to their level. We like to do that. We like to come to their level. Whatever that level may be, and I'm not really certain what that is, being genuine. But notice what's replaced is the saving word, the implanted word, says St. James, which is capable of saving us. And so we replace the gospel with something else, and then we are shocked when someone falls away, when the thing which can save them, we've removed. I think that's what's going on with young people today. It's probably what's going on with adults as well. But specifically, since we're talking about youth, that's what's going on today with our youth. We've replaced the gospel as the primary message and reason for us teaching the youth, gathering the youth together, and the primary message we have for them with something else. And whatever that something else is, isn't going to save.
So it sounds like what you're saying is we have starved these young people and adults as well, if the same thing's being pulled on them. We've starved them of Jesus. And then in the case of the young people, we send them off to the university, and then we're surprised when they come back, and they don't really care about Jesus anymore because now they don't even believe in him.
Right. Well, right, because all it takes is one professor looking at them and going, "Oh, you believe you came from God? Come on. Seriously, yeah, really." And what we have removed from them is the answer. You know, I believe I was created, that God created the heavens and the earth, because I believe that on the third day Christ rose again from the dead. We have removed the gospel, which is not only capable of resourcing them against the devil, the world, and their sinful flesh, but the answer to every question is Jesus. So we've removed that from them, and we've replaced it with moralism. You know, don't get pregnant, don't mess around outside of marriage, love, you know, make sure you love God. Make sure that your worship has some sort of experience or feeling. The gospel is replaced with a mountaintop experience, which you never can come back from. The problem with a mountaintop religion is that you go up the mountain, you have your experience with God, the Almighty, whatever that is, and then you come back down, and it's like coming off a sugar high. You're never going to reach that high again. And when you're down there, you know, off of the sugar and the caffeine, and someone engages you and goes, well, why do you believe what you believe? Well, the emotion's gone. The gospel was never there. And it leaves you at their mercy. You didn't have the gospel to begin with, and now you don't even have the good feeling. You're fairly much lost. It's sort of like, did God really say that you shouldn't eat from any tree which is in the garden? Isn't it, Todd? Because the word is gone. The word's been removed. And Eve's sitting there looking at me, well, you know, we're not supposed to eat from it or touch it. She's already gone because she doesn't have a saving word. Same with our youth. We're sending them off to college, not even concerned about, because we think that they were in youth group. They were president of the youth groups. But studies are showing now that pastor being their buddy or an experience religion or excessive moralism is not going to resource them to stay in the faith. In fact, it's going to be the very reason why they leave the faith.
Okay, let's talk about that trend toward the experience, because I think parents get nervous about this the closer their kids get to leaving home, at least for college or maybe permanently just to move away. And so they say, I've got to get my kids, got to energize them, give them some kind of positive exposure to Christianity, something that's really going to stick in their minds by way of an experience,
right?
So that when, because it's going to have to last them when they get to that secular university.
Because that's what I need. we're gonna give them what I need, all right? Because I need an experience, and so I think they need an experience. Notice who's missing in that. Jesus. Jesus is the one that's going to save mom and dad, and Jesus is the one that's going to save kid. Now, I'm a parent of a ninth grader, and my greatest concern is that my son be in the same faith as me. And so, yeah, I want him to be happy at youth group. But more important than him being happy at youth group is that gospel being put into his ears, that no matter what has gone on, whether he's happy or sad at youth group, whether he breaks up with his girlfriend or he stays with his girlfriend, or whether things go well with him or don't, whether he makes an A or he makes a B, that the same Jesus saves him. That whether he is a chemical engineer or a pastor, God is pleased with him because of Christ. And that gives him the freedom to take on no matter what else goes on in the world. If we remove Christ from this, or we water him down, we believe that young people can't handle the solid doctrine, because we're not going to give them the solid doctrine, because if we gave them the solid doctrine, they'd be bored, right? Right, Todd? That's the belief. Why is that? Because we're bored by the solid doctrine. So we want to give them what we think we want for them and for us. We water down the gospel, or we remove it, and we replace it with fun and moralism and anything, and talk of God rather than talking about Christ. See, the devil doesn't care whether we believe in God or not. He cares about whether we believe that Christ died for us and rose again for us. That's the message that sends him packing. Loving God, or whatever that is, doesn't save anyone. Christ saves. And we remove that message from our kids, we're leaving them. We're leaving them with bullets, with a gun without bullets. I mean, we're not resourcing them for the life to come, and certainly not for the life of the world to come. Even though we love them, even though we care about them, we want them to have this experience. But the experience isn't going to save. What's going to save is when you're at your lowest point, that word of forgiveness, that Christ died even for you in your lowest point, when you're most alone, that's going to save. That's going to save. What's not going to save is experiential, moral, or a watered down.
How do you respond to somebody who says, well, but it's kind of the it keeps them off the streets argument for youth group? You know, yes, it's fluffy. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it lacks in even basic biblical teaching of the gospel, as you've said. But it's better than the alternative. It's better than sitting out drinking beer in the parking lot. And yes, it's mostly fun, but it's Christian-ish fun. How do you respond?
Right.
About a minute here before our
break. Well, you know, to get a physics degree, we, of course, study American literature, right? We get our degree in American literature to get our physics degree? No. We become a physicist by getting our degree in American literature? No. To be a Christian, we need to put Christianity in our kids. To be a Lutheran, we need to have Lutheranism put in our kids. You don't put evangelicalism or God-ish talk. If they want to avoid jail, then they can learn that at school. If you want to avoid hell, you need Jesus. It doesn't make sense to get a degree in American literature to be a physicist. That doesn't make sense at all. What makes sense is physics for a physics degree, Christianity, Lutheranism for a Lutheran. That's what we need. Jesus to keep our kids in the faith. Nothing else.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit with George Burghardt along these lines about how things have changed, not the church's task, but the environment in which our young people find themselves has changed. Not so radically in the last 20 years, but compare it to 50 years ago, where now the cultural pressure, not only to do wrong, which has always been there, the cultural pressure to forget God is perhaps stronger than it ever has been. And our kids feel it. Our kids sense it. They are part of it. How does the church respond? We know how the church has responded. It's responded by trying to exert a little cultural pressure of its own, just create a Christian alternative to all of the world's enticements. Well, George says that's obviously not the answer. What is? We'll be right back.
That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 3rd. Pastor George Borghardt is with us. We're talking about lessons to be learned from young atheists. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and president of the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things. George, before the break, I was talking about, really, and this is unprecedented, at least in the American experience, it's not just a pressure, the world's pressure, which has always been there, on young people. They feel it so acutely because they're entering into it for the first time out of childhood. But now, the added to that pressure is a genuinely kind of godless worldview. And I'm not talking about godless in the sense of let's just go out and live lives of debauchery, but a worldview that doesn't require God at all in any sense. Now, we've talked about what's been tried. What's been tried is let's exert counter pressure of the churches or kind of Christianist culture, slap a Jesus fish on things and offer an alternative. What is the real alternative? How is the church really countercultural?
Jesus. I mean, that seems absurd, but the answer really is Christ and Him crucified. That's the only answer. That's the only thing we got. But it's not the only thing. Like we've got nothing else. It's the only thing because that's all we need. The world. We look at the world and we're like, wow, like you said, you painted a pretty bad picture of how different it looks than back in the day. But yet, same world back in the day with the same sins. And clearly, the world assisting us back in the day didn't really help us that much, which leaves us Christ. The only message that we have in the church that saves is Christ and Him crucified. Now, so we're engaging young people, because that's what we're talking about. All right, this would be with anyone. But we're engaging young people in a world who come in from a world that in which there is no Christ. There is no universe. There's no God that loves them, and it doesn't really matter. And so they're in front of me at Lockins, visitors, kids, and you ask them what Christmas is, and they're like, I don't know. What's Easter? They don't know. So what we are given to tell them is that God, in His mercy, has engaged this world in a hidden way, but in a sort of no big trumpet fair, no TMZ there. He took on our flesh, was born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Now, when we say this, our initial thought is, well, that's just not going to work. It's not going to work. That's ineffective. That's not going to engage someone. That's just words. Yet, these are the words that the Lord has given us to save us. And if we want our youth to be Lutheran, then we're going to put Lutheranism into them. We're going to put the catechism into them. We're going to put the word into them. We're going to talk about their baptism. We're going to worship as we worship as Lutherans. And we're not going to expect to worship like a Baptist or an evangelical and then expect them to come back and worship as Lutherans do. We're going to engage them with what the church has, which is a separate and unique culture of its own, which is a Christ-centered universe, where the real world is where Christ is king, and that this is the world that not only is it true in church, but it's also true when they step out of church, that Christ died for them, Christ rose for them, Christ lives for them. So the answer is the opposite of what the world believes. The world believes that we water down faith, we have fun, and we sort of step away from the deep theological stuff and worship in some way that feels good. No, we worship as the church has always worshiped, which is Christ and Him crucified. We put what we believe into our youth, and that word does not depart from them. Because what saves is Christ and Him crucified. Period. The end. It's the only bullets that we have for our gun, but it's the only bullets that we need, because it's not even a bullet. It's a crucified Lord who rose again from the dead, who does things in not by force, but by dying. He saves us. And so the answer is that we do church as church, worship as worship, catechesis, doctrine is doctrine. And we trust that these kids that do physics and chemistry and algebra and calculus can understand this faith. And we engage them with that word and therefore resource them. And we treat them like an adult. Until they give us a reason to treat them otherwise. And we engage them with that word, and that word's going to save them. It's going to save them when the professor looks at them and goes, "You believe in Jesus?" Yes, because the eyewitness testimony of the resurrection changed the lives of everyone involved in it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's more evidence of that than there is a Caesar crossing the Rubicon. Ta-da, the end.
You mentioned worship several times there. Why is that so important, especially for our youth?
Oh, because we believe that worship should sound like whatever music we're liking or whatever. It should be sort of watered down the world tells us. That's what the world tells us. The world tells us that worship should be sort of watered down and engaging and exciting and glitzy and lighting and there should be a lot of sort of emotion and feeling. The worst thing you want to do is sing a hymn or receive the body and blood of a crucified and risen Lord, says the world. But what we believe as Lutherans is that when God comes to us, he comes to us in his gifts. We don't go to God. See, that the world's religion is we're going to God with our experience. We're going up the mountain. We're creating an emotional high or something that we can sort of experience and have fun in. Well, you know what? When God comes to us, he comes to us in ways that makes us feel uncomfortable. Never shall you wash my feet, Jesus. Never will you go to the cross and die for me, Jesus. But that is the very God. That is the very God who saves, though. And so we're going to receive Jesus in the liturgy, in the external word, in the sacrament. And that, because it is real and it is the way that God wants to be worshiped, is the most effective way of keeping our youth in the faith that there is, because it has the Word of God behind it. See, we talked about the Confessions one time on Issues 24-7 or 24 Bible study. The worship of the law offers up gifts to God. The worship of the gospel, which is the way God wants to be worshipped, receives from God. See, faith is receiving. And so we put Jesus into folks, and faith, which is born of the gifts, grasps hold of that, and we're saved.
An objection and then a question for you.
Go ahead.
The objection is going to, I can hear it just ringing out from a few listeners. That's not going to keep their attention.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I agree with the objection, because I'm an unbeliever. I look at the Higher Things conferences where we have 1,400 youth singing the liturgy and singing the ancient hymns, and every year I look at them and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, I believe, help now my unbelief, because it's not supposed to be so. I look at my congregation where my kids teach the evening prayer and the offices to the congregation. They teach evening prayer. They want the historic services, and I look at them and say, this is not supposed to be working. This is not the way it's supposed to be working. This is not what I learned at seminary. But yet, it's Jesus who saves, and his word, which is the enlivening word, which saves, the implanted word, which is able to save us. And so I understand the objection. I feel the objection, but I'm going to go with Jesus on this one and not what I think, feel, or say, because what I think, feel, or say is wrong. The word alone saves. That alone saves. Okay, now your comment.
Well, another quick objection, and then I'll get to my question. Look, bottom line, we want our kids to feel good about God. What's your response?
Well, bottom line, we want our kids saved. That bottom line is we don't, behind the I want my kids to feel good about God is I want my kid in heaven, isn't it? That's what we want. So the question's wrong. I don't want my kid to feel good. My kid is going to feel good sometimes. He's going to feel bad other times. Life is happy. Life is sad. There's rejoicing and there's suffering. There's winning and there's losing. What I want is my son to stand before the Father on the last day and point to Christ and say, he alone saves me. He alone is my salvation. That's what I want my two boys to do, and my daughter. That's what I want. So whether they feel good or not, we need to ask ourselves as parents, what do I really want? And what I really want is my kids in heaven. That's what I really want. And so what I need to do is remember what saves. And what saves is Christ and Christ alone. And so what needs to go into my kids is what's going to save them. We don't give... if we know that a one med is going to save us from death, we don't give another med that because it tastes better. All right? So we're not going to give our kids a different medication than they want. We're going to look at them and go, this doesn't taste so good. This cough medicine's going to taste so good, but it's going to help you. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you better. It's going to save you from your illness. Christ alone saves. Whether he creates a good feeling or whether he creates an awkward feeling. And I promise you that if we put the word into our kids, that word is going to create the very thing that we're looking for. If we water that word down and we're embarrassed by that word and we don't want that word into them because we think that they need something else, well, then they're going to get something else.
George, you get 15 seconds to tell me about Higher Things real quick. Do your 15 seconds.
Higher Things is a youth organization which promotes Lutheran identity amongst young people, resourcing parents and pastors for this. We believe that the best way for Lutherans to be Lutherans and to grow up Lutherans is to worship and to be taught good, solid Lutheranism. And then in between that, we can have fun. But that's Higher Things. HigherThings.org. Check it out. Today, higherthings.org.
Folks, you can find out more about Higher Things at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and president of the Lutheran Youth Organization, Higher Things. Thanks, George.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Dr. Peter Scarer is going to be our guest to kick off Hour 2 of Issues Etc. We're going to talk with him about baptism, and then Elliot Miller will join us. You read about that story of a San Diego judge ruling in favor of a public elementary school's right to teach yoga. The objection was that it's teaching religious doctrine to teach yoga. The judge said, no, yoga is just exercise, just good, healthful advice. It doesn't necessarily have to have any religious overtones. We'll see what Elliot Miller has to say of the Christian Research Journal in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Hour 2 in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.